the Saturday Light Brigade. So call your neighbors, text them, let them know that there's some fun radio about to happen. I always get a lot of joy out of the person we're about to present to you. What a build-up. He better come through for us, huh?
I never let you down. You're the man.
Never. I've been calling you a raconteur lately.
Isn't that some sort of French dinner? Some French meal? The raconteur.
No, that's a rack of lamb.
No, I appreciate, as long as you don't call me late for dinner.
Raconteur is a compliment. Steve Pellegrino is an amazing storyteller. He is an amazing musician, playing lots of things, but accordion in particular, and is just an all-around great guy. You're going to learn more about him if you've never heard him before. If you have heard him before, you know what you're in for, and you're staying tuned in, right? Welcome, Steve, and I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Well, it's like coming back here is like coming to visit a relative, and it's always too long in between stints.
Indeed.
It really is.
And we will fix that.
We will, and I have to tell you that I probably may even be able to say that I have more fun being here with you than you have with me.
I don't know.
It seems like we're a mutual admiration society. But let me just first, I have to say something. It's incredible the young people you had on this morning earlier. Just incredible. It makes me feel old, but at the same time, it's wonderful that there is a place in the city of Pittsburgh or anywhere in this country that young people get the opportunity to expose the people we don't hear about, the people we don't hear about in the news, the people that are out there doing things. And I was so impressed with everybody so far. But I'd like to start out with a great story that you're involved in. When my son was in fifth grade, I believe, he said, "Dad, I'm going to be playing on the radio on Saturday morning. I'm playing with some musical theater people. I'm playing behind them." I said, "Fine, I'll take you." And you have to remember, there was a point where your show went from one radio station to another, and there was sort of a moment there where I lost you. You know, you can understand. And I was so thrilled when I found you again because I've listened for years. And so we're driving in the car, and he's shuffling music. And I said, "Leo, what are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm looking through the music I'm going to play." I says, "Well, have you practiced it?" He said, "Oh, no, no." I said, "What?" He says, "No, I'm trying to figure out where to give the cue to the piano player to let me take off." I said, are you? So we come in, and with nerves of steel, he comes in with the clarinet. There's, I think, five or six singers, the piano player. I don't know if there were other instrumentalists. They come in, and it was a Gershwin piece. It was a Gershwin show. Lay It Low, you know. So I said, this is great. Now I know, once again, Larry Berger is where there is no sunlight in the basement. And we've reconnected, and my son just blew me away. So move forward now, whatever that was. It's, 2014 now. My son graduated from a music conservatory in New York City.
Wow.
He's been playing in the subway. And in a way, it's been the best kind of experience as a musician that anyone could ever want, because if you can make people to stop and throw money in a bucket on their way somewhere, you've got something going on. Well, long story short, Questlove from the Jimmy Fallon show saw them. He tweeted last Friday, and they went viral. So his band's name is called Too Many Z-O-O-Z, Zoos. And if you want to see him, you go on Google and do Too Many Zoos Rocks. And we're just so thrilled because my son is a working musician in New York City and doesn't ask for any money. So in a lot of ways, you had a lot to do with the success of my son, and I came here today to thank you for that.
That's just unbelievable.
Isn't life incredible? I mean, that's the greatest thing about getting old, because there's a lot of parts that aren't too much fun. But there's just this big circle that just goes on.
Yeah, there are a lot of dots to connect. many, many dots to connect. And I remember when he came down. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And you got a good memory because yeah. Sometimes I can't figure out what day it is. But one of the things about your, you know, just the whole setup here is just great. It was great to see the kids there. The parents are there. Everybody's thrilled. And I just can't say enough good things about your show. And I'm just so glad that Arizona is there too.
Yeah, the Phoenicians or the Phoenixites.
Phoenicians.
I'm not sure what the right. I better be careful.
Well, yeah. The, but
you know, not. I want to be sure we actually get a chance to have you perform. We're looking at potentially building an additional studio in addition to this one. And we started to look at the plans the other day, and wouldn't you know it, at least one of the plans is to have it in the basement. Or as we like to call it, the lower level. It's sound isolation in a low room, you know, when you're in the ground is really good. It makes things sound better. But you do miss a window that actually looks out on things like the sky.
Yeah, yeah. It really, really. But, you know, on the other hand, you have a great eclectic group of guests. And so it sort of takes your mind off the fact that you don't know what's going on outside.
Absolutely. It's much better, actually. I'll stare at you instead of the sun any day. So what do you want to
Well, I got a little story for you. I don't know. I'd lost touch with a good friend of mine. I lived in D.C. for a while. I lost touch with a good friend of mine named Joan. And at one point, you know, you just think, I'm going to call. And I still had her phone number, so I gave her a call one day, and we started to talk and, you know, reminisce. And she said, are you still playing boogie woogie music on the piano? And I said, unfortunately, I've torn the cartilage in my right hand, and it's just too painful. And the operation, I'm just not going to go there. So I decided to write a boogie woogie piece for her called Joni's Boogie and play it on the accordion. Needless to say, sometime after that, I decided that I should try to figure out a way to play the piano and not hurt my wrist. And after about 4 or 5 months of experimentation, I'm now able to play the piano. But this is for Joni, and it's called the Joni's Boogie. Thank you.
is a lucky person. As I was listening to you play, I looked up your son's YouTube video. I didn't watch it. I was watching you and listening to you. He has over 500,000 hits. I talk about viral. I mean, he's got he's on his way to 600,000 hits.
And as a friend said, if you know how these sites start to get connected. If you put them all together, he's got about 1 million. And so and this is the great thing about being a parent. It's a roll of the dice. You don't know, you know what's going to happen. But it is interesting, and this is another good little story. You'll see musicians, or you see artists of any kind all over, and you see them all your life. But it's so bizarre to grow up with one and see the sort of dedication and the focus that goes on from a very young age. My wife had a clarinet that she bought from the Goodwill for $15 because she was in the marching band. She figured, you know, I'll play around with it. And I guess in third grade, he picked it up and he found what it was. And it's so, you know, because I was never the kid that said at this age, this is what I'll be. You know, it's always been floating around. So it's really interesting. He'd come home from school and practice like for 10 hours a day. I mean, you'd think your butt would get sore. but I appreciate the fact that I was able to share this circuitous story. It's really interesting when you come to the Children's Museum because as a child, both of us, there was no such thing as a
children's. If you told me a children's museum as a child, I would think that you were going to go to this place and there would be like wax models of children. And you would look at them. You know, it was a museum of, you know,
of children. And it's just it's always a thrill here because, you know, I'm sure you get here very early and, you know, there's these kids and they're all awake.
Yeah.
And they're having a good time. So
the kids here are amazing. And what I frequently joke, I don't know that I've ever said this on the air, but when we have guests here, particularly teens, I say, now, remember, the children here at the museum playing, you are invisible. Because they're so captivated by everything that's happening here. They'll walk right into you. You want to say, now, don't squash any children as you walk through because the kids are so captivated.
No, really. They're focused. I just wanted to talk briefly about this next Saturday night.
You've got a CD release.
Yeah, and it will be delivered in the middle of this week, so I will be mailing you a copy.
Thank you. And that's always the way it goes. You're lucky they're coming not the same day.
Knock on wood. We'll see. You know how it goes. There's so many things to try to juggle. But it's very interesting because I am always very interested in a composer of the image I get, and I'm sure you'll understand. When you were kids, there was a toy that had two wheels, and one was bigger. And it didn't have the axle through the middle. So it did this sort of when it would turn, it would like sort of be out of kilter. And I'm fascinated with polyrhythms or, counterpoint rhythms. And I have a couple gentlemen I've been playing with, a drummer by the name of Michael Yocklage and a sax player by the name of Philip Bergen, good friends. And they're willing to sit every Monday night and play these crazy things I write. So we've rehearsed for quite a while and picked 9 of the songs that we liked. And there's also improvisation involved in it. And this CD is really exciting for me because in a lot of ways, they were experiments. They were exercises in things that I have in my head and I wanted to realize. So I've entitled the album, and I've combined a bunch of different languages. It's called Il Etude de Hypno, because many of the songs have a hypnotic quality with this counterpoint rhythm. And I think in a very bizarre way, they're almost danceable. So we'll see what we'll see what happens at the release party.
Now, where is it?
It's going to be at the Modern Formations Gallery. It's on Penn Avenue.
Nice. That's a great place.
Yeah, and I just need to warn everybody, there are about five blocks on Penn Avenue that you can only go towards town on.
Right.
So you have to be careful where you catch it. But there's always parking, and it's a nice little space. Has a nice little stage and sound system. And one of the great things that I've done is we're asking for a donation, but I'm going to take whatever we get at the door and give half of it to the new Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. There's going to be a Fringe Festival in May, which I'm very, very excited about, which I'm going to be in. And I'm going to be doing a one-man show called The Accordion Monologues, which I think you will find very interesting because I was involved with the accordion pool party that happened three or four years ago
yeah.
in Lawrenceville. And somebody was interviewing me, and I realized that, you've heard the 6 degrees of separation. Well, for me, there was 1 degree separation of me and an accordion somehow in my life. So I put all these stories together that are related somehow through an accordion. And it's interesting. I have my parents were older when they had me, so they were children of the Depression. So I sort of like start there with them through their history because I had a great-grandfather who played, my father played, all my cousins played.
Wow.
I lived in a little town. Every town had an accordion teacher. Everyone played the accordion. So and I think you will definitely, after we have all these conversations, there are so many points of our lives that overlap in terms of how we experience it, I think you will just love. And I think it would be a really good show for people that are from that era, because it's history sort of disappears when the people who were in it aren't there anymore.
Well, and these stories are better than any movie or any work of fiction that you can come up with because they're real life. And we have reality shows, alleged.
Put the quotes around.
Yeah, alleged reality shows that spend more time in post production than they do in actual filming. And to hear true, authentic stories from actual, I sometimes say these are real, breathing, bleeding people. These are people that are telling you from the heart what they experienced. And that'll be fun.
No, I'm very, very excited about it. And I'm also, it's so exciting to have the Fringe Festival because Pittsburgh does have a lot of people who do theater. And, through the years, it's gotten much more difficult to find a place to perform. It's just a different, landscape. And I'm sure you, with your show, understand the minefield that's out there in terms of trying to raise money for nonprofit organizations and for the arts. It's, when the economy's bad, everything, gets tight. So I'm very, if anybody out there wants to donate to them, please do. It's the Pittsburgh Fringe Festival. All you have to do is, get on the computer. Now, what a concept. My wife was a social worker who decided to get into computers because there was always, will the funding be here for next year? So I want to – and she came home one day and said, there's this thing. It's called the World Wide Web. You won't believe it. And I said, computers and – that's not going anywhere.
Now, this – just to be clear, this wasn't like last week.
This was many years ago. Okay. But, of course, my wife isn't that old. She was probably about 13 when she told me about that. it's amazing when you think – of what's at your fingertips.
It's astounding. Do you know, 20 years ago, more or less, I used to go to the library twice every week, and I had 10 or 11 big, thick, purchased books at home, and all to support each week's radio program and putting together puzzles and historic events and other things. And I think about that.
Wow.
And it's like I still put lots of time into it, but I you know, it's all right there. And I can even come up with better information. And I still remember the old days of the internet before graphics and pictures. I sometimes miss those days a little bit. But it's just amazing. And then, you know, we began broadcasting on the internet a little bit before most folks here at SLB. We started, I believe it was 1993 or 94. And Mark Sank, who might be listening now, helped me. And I remember we had a real audio 0.8. And it's amazing. And like anything else in life, you know, you've got this great, incredible resource. It can be used for good. It can be used for other things. Everybody's mileage varies a little bit. But it's amazing, as in the case of your son, the Fringe Festival, folks listening right now. It's just – it's incredible.
Yes, I totally agree. It's incredible, and it's ironic because – you know, my wife worked with computers, the kids did, and I just never – I couldn't even turn it on. But it reached the point where there were no more accordion repairmen, and I needed to get accordion parts. So I had to learn how to use the computer. And now I'm connected to accordionists everywhere.
That came up just a couple weeks ago, a gentleman playing accordion with Nagales was playing an electronic accordion. And I was asking him about it after we finished off the air, and he said one of the reasons he went to it is because it's really hard to get instruments repaired these days. And if you find somebody who's good at repairing an accordion, it might take a few months to get it back.
There's a guy in Ohio that's backed up 6 months. I've gone to New Jersey. There are people, and there are people in the Washington, D.C. area. And I do a lot of repairs for people that, you know, don't entail a lot of stuff. But I have way too many accordions. I'm always buying broken accordions.
How many do you have, do you think?
Oh, please. I have 25.
I love it.
And my wife should be stopping me, but she says, oh, it's a beautiful instrument. You have to save it.
So, do you know how you can move those around from place to place using one of them accordion buses?
Do you know in Vancouver they actually have an accordion bus that has a picture of an accordion on the accordion part of the bus?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
And if I can find it, I will email it to you.
Somebody, love to see it.
There's a big accordion community in Vancouver, and so it's incredible. There's just these flashpoints all over. And of course, Europe, the accordion is the electric guitar. It's incredible. There's an incredible amount of people. And it's great to see, because you have to remember, by the time I was in junior high, you were being made fun of if you played the accordion. I remember playing a junior high dance. But still, you know, one of the great things about being a musician and a young guy, some of the women in the audience were interested in me because I was a musician. So I thought that worked pretty good.
Yeah, it worked.
I remember we played Yesterday was one of the songs we played, me and a guitar player. And there's something very interesting about playing music that when you play music with other people, you have a connection that's deep. And it's interesting because the longer you play with people, the more you have this connection. And it's a relationship that you have. And I just can't tell anybody that if you ever think that you want to play an instrument, just do it. You don't have to be incredible. You don't have to be, you know, the top-notch player. Play. You can do it forever. You know, as long as you can move your fingers or blow into the instrument or whatever – playing an instrument is always great. It's a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that I was given the opportunity at age 9 to take some accordion lessons and go from there. It's always been – it's probably one of the greatest parts of my life that I enjoy.
The voice you're hearing is Steve Pellegrino, CD release party. A week from tonight at Modern Formations Gallery in Lawrenceville, and
Garfield Friendship.
Garfield Friendship, and it's hopefully will be a big turnout for that. We better get to hear some more accordion here.
This next piece is interesting. Everything has a story with me.
I know.
I think you pegged me right.
I like that. I like everything having a story.
The trouble is, I'm sure my family's tired of the same, because you forget what story you told, so you have to always tell it again.
Okay, I'll try to be really quick with this because we have to remember to book you for more than 1 hour in the future.
We can go on, can't we, Lars?
I want to develop a website, and I really hope to do this. It would be called something like myside.com or mysideofthestory.com, and what it would be family members telling a story about a singular incident. You would tell it from your perspective. Your son would tell it from his perspective.
That's great.
Because everybody, you know, we have these, from what I understand, we really store memories in our head is just these little specific things, and then we kind of interpolate between them to create what we think is true. And everybody does that a little differently, and I think it would be fascinating.
I think you'd have a hit on your because I'll tell you, believe me, there's always incongruities in my stories when I tell it to the family. Yeah. Well, as I said, I love the idea of rhythm and how it works. And the typical 12-bar blues in you know, America, which was, you know, came from African Americans and sort of colliding with Western music. And so this is a tune that's on CD. It's part of a three-part piece called Journey to the 11th Dimension. Just to digress for a second, I have a character that I did in a play called The Man from Inyezar, who was from a plaster dimension. And so the joke, the inside joke in my brain, because, you know, I'm telling it to myself, this Journey to the 11th Dimension is a very popular song for vacationers when they're going to vacation. So I took a 12-bar blues and I made it 11 bars. So after I play this, if you, you know, re-listen to it, you can count and see there are not 12 bars, but you won't know that there's not 12 bars. Your ear, because you're so used to that structure, will just go there. So this is called Journey to the 11th Dimension. I'd like to start that one over again. I slipped off my fingers here. Here we go. Thank you.
was counting, and you know, it took me until the very last part of the tune to get 11. I was really because you know I love polyrhythms. I played a little bit of drums, and I love songs that are cacophonous and just full of apparent disorder. But it did. You know, you gave me all the hints and what to listen for, and I kept getting 12, or not. I kept. I was counting in eighth notes, actually.
I kept
getting the wrong answer.
Well, it was hard to do that because you get really used to these patterns in your brain because, you know, typical Western music is always 8, 16, 32 bars. And you know, all, you know, standards are 32. You know, you get something like St. James Infirmary. It's only an 8-bar riff, but everybody gets that 2-4, 2-4, 4-2, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And no, if you were a drummer, then you totally appreciate it. I envy you because I could not play a drum I can't keep things going. And I'm always envious when you see somebody being able to play a hi-hat, the bass drum.
That's not me.
Yeah. Well, you know. You did enough that you could play the drum.
Yeah.
I couldn't even roll on a tom-tom or a – but I just am always fascinated by that sort of collision, and it's really clear that you understand what I'm talking about.
It's hard to explain, and cacophony is one word that always comes to mind. Collision's a good one, but it's just these sounds that come together in a way that would appear to be almost like anarchy, but it works.
It
works.
Yeah, I have to agree. I have to agree. Music is such an incredibly huge, vast. I shouldn't use the two words together. It's a vast,
huge,
huge. It's just it's so big, and the music ranges from it's. There's so much stuff that's music. And it's fascinating how the human beings love to hear organized or disorganized groups of sounds.
Yeah, and you know, speech is part of music too in many ways. And when you think about improvisation and you know, the way you play, I know I'm not going to hear the same song the same way exactly.
Thank you, because you learn a lot of things.
Well, it's important, you know, because you're. That's art, you know, when it gets right down to it. This new CD sounds great. Are you doing any takes on known songs, any standards?
Or? We're going to do one of my favorite American composers is Willie Dixon. And we're going to do Wang Dang Doodle, which is a really – I just love that song to death. And because I'm always – I'm fascinated how you can take a 2-bar riff and turn it into this sort of magnum opus. Everybody rocks out on that tune. And also because it's going to be near the solstice, we're going to probably do this Coltrane tune called Equinox.
Oh, nice.
Because the vernal equinox is on the 21st. And it was very interesting when I was sitting out there and you were playing the Miles Davis.
Yeah,
tune.
I had kind of blue.
This is funny. For years I just didn't get Miles Davis. I didn't get it, and boy, once it hit me, it was like a load of bricks. I had to do some catching up. Wow,
he's amazing.
What can you say? It's like he really reinvented jazz many times over, and as a friend of mine once said, once Miles was gone, there was no one around to reinvent. He really, when you think the range of things that he did, it's
all
phenomenal.
Over the place, and I get chills thinking about it. He just went through so many phases and periods and. Almost like he was, you know, a dozen different people throughout his life, had a dozen different careers. But, you know, just – and it's – you know, the fact of the matter is he's just an amazing artist.
Yeah, and it's great. It's, I don't know, it sort of like gives you hope for humanity. You know, when things sort of look bad, and it's like that there are human beings out there that are so tuned into something that they can go somewhere that no one sees to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I felt so great about the young ladies with the robotics.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And they were talking like – it was like shop talk for them, man. They knew what they were doing and what – and it's like, whoa. And it's just so great to see young women being interested in science and, you know, stuff like that. It's I really wanted to come up. I take it was one of their father. It was a father, and I wanted to say, "Man, you should be really proud.
Yeah.
This is really."
We've had them here. That was their third segment, and what we've been doing is every couple of months, we've had them come on to discuss their progress. And I didn't say this to them directly. I think they know how I feel, and they don't necessarily need this validation from me. But it's really cool to watch them get more and more confident from segment to segment, not so much in their ability to speak on the air, but in their technical prowess. It's just incredible.
Oh, really? Wow. So
yeah.
Wow. Because they were so well-spoken.
Yeah, they were well-spoken from the beginning, I think. But
man,
certainly they've developed in that way too. But their technical chops, it's like,
so
it's
really
incredible.
They're like really growing.
Yeah.
And wow, that's what's so amazing. I guess that period where you're like, I guess from maybe 13, 14, as you start to go through up to 18, if you're at doing something, you start to get that extra little, you know, like, you know, you get the confidence, and then your brain is because they were getting so excited about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It was like I was getting excited. It's like, oh man, I think I want to go see that, man. It's like so.
Well, let's just say that there are some people that make it to the age of, such as you, and I hope I have a little bit of that. I'll tell you, you've got a lot of that. You're still as excited as any. It's keeping a childlike enthusiasm, if you want to call it that.
No,
it's important. And I think, unfortunately, the world can wear that away from a lot of people, or we can self-inflict wearing that away. And it's tough, you know.
Well, I really appreciate that because I try to have a forward-looking attitude, and it's sort of like you just fall down, you get back up, and keep on going. If I can't enjoy life, why bother? So I'm gonna enjoy life, and I know that as a plasterer, my days are really numbered. There's just so long you can do this because you know it has a little wear and tear. So I've been sort of discovering woodwork, and I'm really getting excited by it because basically I was never a digital kind of guy. I'm sort of an analog kind of guy, sort of, you know. And
plaster is very analog.
Yeah,
drywall's digital, plaster's analog.
Right, and you know, sort of like the digital part started to sneak up on me because my father was a carpenter and he was very digital. The guy was just like precise. And, you know, I remember as a kid thinking, oh, 7/8, 3/4, oh, what's it matter? It's pretty close. And, you know, now it's fascinating because I can revel in the preciseness. And I'm really enjoying it. And, you know, this repairing these accordions and taking them all apart and putting them back together, it's a technology that hasn't changed since the 1840, I think. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. And when I take an accordion apart and see how they've figured out a way to do something a little differently, it's amazing. I mean, when you look at the accordion I have, I've got 41 keys on the right hand side, and each one of those keys in the master button has four reeds. There's a bassoon reed, two clarinet reeds, and a piccolo reed. So when I hit this F. Here, I'm sorry. I'm playing four different reeds. Now, if I play the bassoon reed, I'm only playing the bassoon reed. Now, here, I'd be playing just the piccolo reed. And here, it would be just the clarinet. Now, the clarinet reeds, and this is what's very interesting, the two clarinet reeds are tuned so many cents apart. And depending on the tuning, whether it's Italian or Western swing or Cajun, it's how far apart they are. And it gets very mathematical, and it's amazing. And I have this accordion is a converter accordion. So I can get scales out of it.
Wow.
Okay, and this is called the quint system, because what they basically did was take the basic setup of the accordion. You have the tonic here, which is like my C, and then a third, the row closest to the bellows, is E. So when what they did is they just moved it along so that this would be this C in this octave, and then C in another octave with the third, and then the next octave with the third. Now, you also have a free bass where the C starts at the very top of all those buttons that you see on the mm-hmm. accordion and work their way across all the way down. So, you know, C would go here, and then it would go C sharp, D, D sharp, et cetera, and
so
all the way down.
So you're programming. You are essentially programming a computer.
Well said. Well said.
I never thought about it that way. In fact, that's probably the best explanation I've ever had of how an accordion works, because it's fascinating. I mean, there are no fewer than probably 150 – there's more than that. Things you can press.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's so simple because it's basically a lever and a spring with a reed. Now, this is what they call a unisonic accordion, because when I hit this F, it's the same F in or out. Now, diatonic accordions generally are
more like a harmonica where
you
get one note.
And they're called bisonic. Mm-hmm. So there's one note in, one note out. And if you get on if you get on Google and do accordion, there's all kinds of accordions, all kinds. And so I'm fascinated by them. I have a Slovenian button box which has the loudest bass possible in an accordion. It's called a Helicon bass. But the buttons on the right-hand side are arranged in fourths, and they are bisonic.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, like you know, and it's really the reeds must be as big as my feet.
Wow.
So these reeds are incredible, because some of them are maybe the size of the tip of your little finger, ranging up to one that might be like most of the size of your thumb. And they're connected on reed blocks with a mixture of beeswax with linseed oil and rosin. And what they do is they melt the wax and just pour it and glue them in. So, of course, you can't leave your accordion in a hot place or a cold place. And virtually, if you take care of your accordion, you never need to retune. And the way they tune it, now you're going to love this, there's a tongue, if you can imagine, a little reed tongue that vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make it sharp, you scratch the tip. If you want to make it flat, you scratch the back.
Oh.
And there's, you know, just incredible tuners that have that ear, you know.
That's the carpenter, you know, a little shim to get it one way
yeah.
or the other.
Or
the plaster, a little skim coat.
Yeah, that's a good analogy for it. I liked your computer idea. That's really what you're doing is
programming. It's true. Is you're making those buttons do what you want them to do, and it's fascinating. I think when people watch accordionists, they just – unless they know the instrument well, it's kind of like, what's going on? How can and you broke it down in a way that at least gives you some sense. I can't believe we're down to 4 minutes of radio time.
You had a great time, though.
Well, no, we had a great time, too. And that's really, I always say, better to wish you had more time than to wish you had less. But I want to thank just Girls of Steel Robotics, Sarah Hines House, Center for Young Musicians, and also from very, very early this morning, Rachel Renee Russell, the author of Dork Diaries, who will be here in Pittsburgh tomorrow. And I want to let you take us out now that I've done all those thank yous.
Okay, I'll do it with the Coltrane tune.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Modern Formations Gallery, 1 week from today, coming up. And Steve, you're going to come back?
Man, I won't miss it for the world. I'll be back.
Join us next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Public Radio.